So today, I am not a called and ordained pastor and have not been trained in the word. So I'm going to share some notes from pastors that I have sat under and listened to sermons. And so these two pastors, Nathan Voss, who is our pastor at Beecher, and then John MacArthur in Southern California. And so I am going to, the notes that I have taken, I'm going to share those with you today. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for the time to worship you. We thank you for your son that has set us free through his suffering and death, that he has paid the price that we owe. I pray that you would give our hearts open as we hear your word, as we listen to what you speak to us today, that you may be glorified through what is spoken here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's often that when they want to speak about money, they say, let's have the finance guy talk about money. But today I'm going to talk about something, money, that's really contradictory to what I normally talk about. Normally we talk about saving and planning and investing and, you know, coming up with a plan to make sure it lasts your retirement and taking. Today this passage doesn't really talk much about that, but it really does address something that I often hear from people that come into my office, and that's about being anxious and about being concerned about money. And I remember when John MacArthur was doing this sermon, he just said, many people have come up to him and said, yeah, how do we avoid the love of money? And so that's the title of this sermon today, Avoiding the Love of Money. And this passage that was just read in chapter 19 through 34 really is the conclusion of what he starts in the beginning of verse 6. So in the beginning of chapter 6, if you want to open your Bibles with me to Matthew 6, he starts in chapter 1 and he's talking about giving to the needy. And what he's talking about there is he's kind of in a backwards way getting at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who when they give, they want to make sure people see them give. They want people to know how much they give. And they want the glory for that. And then he moves down to the Lord's Prayer in chapter 5 and talks them how to pray. And in here he actually says, do not pray like the hypocrites. And what he's getting at there is the Pharisees, who love the attention to stand up in front of people and pray and have someone say, oh, that was a really good prayer you prayed. And so Jesus is telling them, no, go to a quiet place, be by yourself. Then he continues on to the part where he talks about fasting. And what does he say here? Again, he says, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. Again, the Pharisees, they walk around going, oh, woe is me, I'm fasting, I'm being really dutiful. They want to get that glory. And so here, when we turn to chapter or verse 19, he's talking about laying up treasures. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today, of how to avoid the love of money, because the Pharisees who he's talking here, they loved money. They liked to be rich. In fact, when you look at Luke 16, verse 14, the Pharisees are lovers of money, Jesus says. And so then Jesus kind of spells out here for us today kind of 4 points that were summarized to help avoid the love of money. The first one, they all start with P's, so if you're taking notes, have the proper treasury, have the proper vision, have the proper alliance, and then have the proper confidence. And so Jesus kind of gives us an outline of what he's talking about when he's talking again to the crowd, but also kind of digging at the Pharisees and their love for money. So the proper treasure, in other words, where are you putting your money? Where is your treasure, your hope? Where do you invest the things you value? It's important to say that the Lord does not forbid us from saving for purposes and having money, but rather the issue he's getting at is the hoarding of money, the having of money to make sure that it's how you can control things, that it becomes your master. And that's what Jesus is getting at here, is that we're not to be hoarding money so that it will become our master. John Wesley really had three principles for money. And here, his thoughts were, earn as much money as you can, save as much money as you can, in order that you can give to God as much as you can. It's never a question of how much you have, but rather what do you do with what you have? And how is that being used for the glory of God? Having wealth is not a sin. It is not taboo. The issue of the sin is just, is it for self-indulgence, and is it my God that keeps me from trusting in Christ? That's where money, and this is why Jesus addressed it so many times in the New Testament, where he talks about money, because so often it's easy for this to replace God. We can have all our confidence in the money we've accumulated, the parable of the man who built the big barns and put everything away and said, hey, I got it made. And then, you know, Jesus says, your soul is required tonight. And so that's really what he's getting at here. Again, the Lord does not condemn saving or planning, but rather to make plans. The wise person consults, you know, things before he builds the tower and before he goes to war. And, you know, so we need to balance that, you know, Jesus does want us to plan and be good stewards, but it's where our confidence is. In fact, one of the wealthiest men was Abraham. God blessed him a lot. He was very wealthy with cattle and lambs, children. The classic example is Job, where he was very wealthy and then had all taken away from him, and then he got it all back again. God does not despise wealth. He just wants to make sure we know how to use that wealth. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5:8, it talks about anyone who does not provide for his family and his household is worse than an unbeliever. And that gets to the point where we need to plan, we need to work, we need to be good stewards of what God has given us, but not be hoarders and put our confidence in that treasury. Where is our treasury? It's okay to enjoy God's blessings. God may have blessed you with all kinds of things. God has blessed us with a boat. I love to go boating. And I love to go on Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and Lake Huron, and that's okay. The issue is, does that boat ever become my God? And does that become my focus? That's the danger that he's talking about. Investing in the kingdom of God is right. Investing in oneself is the wrong part. When we lay up treasures here on earth, they stay here. There's no U-Haul behind a Hertz. It stays here. But when we lay up treasures in heaven, it pays eternal dividends and the souls of men that we can be, that we can help be a part of bringing people to know who Christ is. Back in Bible times, when Jesus is talking here, what treasures were in those times were clothing, grain or crops, and gold and silver. That was really what determined whether someone was wealthy in Bible times. And what he talks about here, where he's talking about in verse 20, where moth can destroy, where rust can destroy, where thieves can steal. And so he's really addressing those three things that in those days were wealth. If he were writing it today, he might say where 401ks can go down in value, where businesses can go bankrupt. You may think you're covered. I've got everything taken care of. I've got insurance. I've got a big stash pile of money. I'm all taken care of. But what that does is it hinders our ability to follow God. We face too much on those treasures. And that's the stuff that stays here and does not go to heaven. So point number two, proper vision. So Jesus talks about in 22, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is healthy, the whole body has a light. And so he's addressing our vision. What are we focusing on? Fixing your eyes on spiritual things or your heart on healthy things helps keep us in tune with what he would want to say to us, his spiritual reality. If your heart is fixed on money, you'll find that it's difficult to see the spiritual vision. It'll be cloudy and dark. And you've often wondered when talking to some people where they just don't seem to get it. Their focus is clouded, and they often can't see it. And how do we keep our vision clear? By coming to church, hearing God's word preached, being in Bible studies, reading God's word. This is how God speaks to us right here, the Bible. This is his word. It helps us stay clear for our vision. Focusing on money can blind you to God's spirit. Generosity can be a clear vision and keep you from hoarding. Point number three, the proper alliance. So in verse 24, he talks about masters. Who is our master? Who are we aligning ourselves or giving our allegiance to? Are we pledging our allegiance to the master of money or the mastery of God? Because we cannot serve both. John Calvin said that where riches are Lord of the heart, God has lost his authority. And when prompted to invest in the kingdom, your heart will be hardened by yourself. And so it's harder to be more generous when you're focused on money. Focusing on money means you're walking by sight. Forgive me for taking a few minutes. So when we focus on money, we're walking by sight, what we can see. Yet the Bible tells us and encourages us to walk by what? By faith. And so when we're focusing on God, we're walking in by faith. When we focus on money again, the producing or the crops that it yields are pride, things of the earth, and often anxiety. When we focus on God, products that it provides or brings about are usually humility, heavenly thoughts, and peace. Contentment comes from serving the right master. When it talks about that in 24, that the master is in control, similar to what we just heard in the children's sermon. The world says, have lots of money and you'll be happy. Who owns everything in the world? is God. He controls everything. He provides everything. This way we do not have to feel like we are in control. If God has given us life and sustained it, He will provide for it. We anchor in His confidence. And that kind of brings up my final point here with proper confidence. So in verses 25 and beyond, is talking about putting our confidence in the Creator of the universe. Now, when she read out of the Bible that, I forget the lady's name that was up here reading, some of the words it talked about, don't be anxious or what have you, but in this Bible, mine says, or hers was, don't worry. This one says, do not be anxious. In fact, in these, from 25 to 32, Jesus uses the word three times. Do not be anxious in 24, do not be anxious in 31, and do not be anxious in 34. When God says something three times, it's important. And so if our confidence is in Christ rather than money, we are not to be anxious. Stockpiling material things to have your covers, to cover all your bases, again, keeps us from trusting and leaning on God. Putting our allegiance to God and having Him be in control reduces that anxiety. We can trust Him. He paints the picture here even with the birds and says, look, these little birds that flutter around that He cares for, He feeds, He clothes. Are we not more valuable than them? Certainly we are. And so as we look at, covering our bases, some of that issue of with the clothes, it talks about mothballs, it talks about today that would be, you would put mothballs to, I've addressed the moths because I use mothballs. For rats and what have you to come in and eat my grain, I put in rat poison. To keep people from stealing my goods, I put an alarm system on. That's how we cover things from the world standpoint. But that's not a full coverage. What brings peace is having the confidence that your Creator, your God that you have given your life to, will provide because He promised to. That doesn't mean there won't be hard times. That doesn't mean we shouldn't save and use wisdom that He's given us to find a job we like or to be investing on a monthly basis or to be giving wisely. But the issue is that who is our trust in? Who is our confidence in? He is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow. He does not change. And so it's tempting to think, Old Testament was years ago, that's different. And no, He's still here, He still provides, He is still our God. I want to close with this analogy that I often use, because it will be in our closing song, which is why I requested it. It talks about an anchor, and that God is our anchor. And I love to boat, and I really like to go charter boats and then go to the Pacific Northwest, and we sleep on the boat. And so we put our anchor down in a little harbor, and we test the anchor, and then we go to sleep. And so here's a 30 to 40 pound anchor with a 5/8 inch line holding several tons of a boat. And we go to bed and rest our eyes, and it's called swinging on the hook. You're just kind of swinging around and what have you. But not worrying about crushing up against the rocks, destroying our life by being pushed into the land, because our anchor is secure. And there are plenty of things to be anxious about in life, and some of them are real, and they're there, but our confidence is in that anchor and that it's securely placed. And when I think of an anchor is made up of three parts. There's the actual iron anchor piece, and then there's a chain, and then there's what's called a rod, R-O-D-E, which is the line. And all three of those make up the anchor piece. And without them, it doesn't work. If you just had an anchor, it wouldn't work. So the anchor bites deep into the ground and holds. The chain, which, you know, the anchor can be God, the chain can be Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can be the cord. But the chain is what allows the anchor to stay hold. If you did not have a chain, the anchor would pull right out. But the chain, because it lays on the bottom, and as your boat moves, it kind of drags around, and it acts as a kind of a shock, so that the anchor stays bitten in the ground. That's what Jesus does for us. He is our spot to the Father. And then the rope, or road as it's called, has a spring to it. It's nylon. It's very taut, but it can also spring, and it does not tear. And that's the Spirit that keeps us connected to Christ and to God. And so we can relax when it comes to money, that we be wise, but not be anxious, because our hope is in Christ. Even if we get invaded and nuclear war happens, and what our hope is in Christ, not in our money.